Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Well, it does, I don't know, be honest, it does raise some doubts, at least at the first glance, when you look at the story of Jonah. Here's a prophet, a kind of classical story, almost could be pulled out of the annals of ancient Greek mythology, changing a few of the place names and the gods, of course. Jonah gets called by God to preach repentance to a great city of Nineveh. He doesn't want to. He flees. He's swallowed by a giant fish. That's where the doubts might first arise. Then he's in the belly of this fish for 3 days and three nights. Then he is, spewed out alive only to complete his mission. Doesn't sound like history. And a lot of people have concluded it isn't. So is it really even worth our time for the church to remember Jonah if he didn't exist or existed only in the imagination of some Old Testament writer? Dr. Andrew Steinman joins us. He's professor of theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Daniel and the Oracles of God. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Steinman, welcome back.
Nice to be back with you, Todd.
It does raise some doubt, doesn't it? I mean, a big fish, a city that is 3 days' journey across, at least by one reading of the ancient text there. Why is it important that we maintain that Jonah is, in fact, history?
Well, I think it's important to maintain because of the gospel. Jesus talks about his resurrection and links it to Jonah. So for Christians, it's vitally important, I think. If you're going to believe in Jesus' resurrection, you have to also then believe in what he says about Jonah being in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And of course, the thing that always amazes me, I suppose, is, you know, if you're a Christian, if you believe that a man rose from the dead, then really any other miracle in the Bible is really just almost like God's parlor trick compared to that. I mean, you know, if you're a Christian, this shouldn't be a problem for you. Now, if you're a non-Christian, you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, I could see where you would doubt virtually every other miracle, too. I could understand that. I don't think there's good reason for it, but I can understand the logic behind it.
Okay, let's deal with the actual story. I mean, this thing has been popularized by the animated VeggieTales, and very entertaining.
Yes.
But let's tell the story as the original tells the story of Jonah.
Okay, well, God tells Jonah, and we know about Jonah, by the way, from the Book of Kings. He was a prophet to the northern part of Israel, the kingdom of Israel. And God tells Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and prophesy against that wicked city. Jonah doesn't want to do this. Now, the background to this is probably the fact that Nineveh, the capital of the great Assyrian Empire at the time, is just kind of the incarnation of evil to the people of Israel. Their methods, like the methods of many people in the ancient Near East when it came to warfare, were very cruel. They would take peoples into captivity. They would often impale people on poles after they conquered them. They would rape and pillage. So, they weren't very nice people when it came to warfare. So Jonah doesn't want to do that. He goes down to the seashore, catches a boat traveling to Tarshish, which probably is the same city as Tarsus where St. Paul was from, would be from later on. Which was considered kind of the ends of the earth for most people in Jonah's day. So he decides to go there. God, however, has different plans. Jonah is in the hold of the ship, asleep, and God sends this great storm. and the sailors try to row out of the storm. They try to lighten the boat by throwing off as much cargo as they can. Eventually, they realize they can't do anything, and they're, of course, all pagans, so they start praying to their gods, and they wake up Jonah and say, "Don't you care that we're going to die? Start praying to your God, too." And it's at this point, basically, that Jonah confesses it's his fault that they're in this trouble, that he worships the God who rules heaven and earth, and so he knows who what it is by saying that, that sent this storm. And he says, "It's my fault, throw me overboard." And the sailors refuse to do this. They are shocked, at, I guess, at this and won't even consider it, and they try to row back to shore. It doesn't work, so they cast lots, which is an ancient way of trying to determine the will of God, or these are pagans, they probably think the gods. But at any rate, the lot falls on Jonah because, of course, we know in the Old Testament when they cast lots, God always controls the lots. So the lot falls on Jonah. And so reluctantly, I suppose, they throw Jonah overboard. The sea instantly calms. We're told that they praise God. And Jonah, meanwhile, we're told, is swallowed by a big fish. The word in Hebrew means a big sea creature. They don't make distinctions between like whales as mammals and other fish as fish like we do. They just had a word that generally means things swimming in the sea. So could have been a whale, could have been a big fish, we don't know. The second chapter, Jonah, interestingly enough, is Jonah's prayer from the belly of the fish, where he confesses his sins, and it has a lot of echoes of a number of different psalms. It's really obvious that the prophet knew the book of Psalms, and so he prays, confesses his sins, and we're told God has the fish spit him out on the shore and instructs Jonah, the same instruction, go to that wicked city, Nineveh, and preach against it. And so he goes to Nineveh, and we're told, as you mentioned earlier, Nineveh is a city of a 3 days' journey, and it's all a lot of conjecture about what that means, but most likely it means if you're walking through the city and talking and preaching, it's going to take you 3 days to get one side to the other. Not that it would take you 3 days if you were just a determined walker, but if you're doing what Jonah's doing, it's going to take you 3 days. So Jonah preaches. We're told that the people hear this, and news is even brought to the king of Nineveh. And lo and behold, the people of Nineveh actually hear the message that Jonah is bringing, that the city is going to be destroyed in a set number of days. I believe he says 40 days, and the city will be destroyed. And they believe God's message. And the king of Nineveh, when hearing this, calls on them all to repent, to put on sackcloth, which was a common sign of repentance in the ancient Near East. So they put on sackcloth. They even put it on their animals, and they, you know, the the cattle and so forth. And they repent. And so God sees their repentance and calls off the destruction that he had planned for the city. Well, Jonah doesn't like this, because he didn't want to go to Nineveh in the first place. So he goes outside the city, and he kind of sulks there, and he says to God, "Well, you know, I knew you were a gracious and forgiving God, and I knew this is what would happen, you know, that you're a God who forgives." And so Jonah's not only upset that Nineveh's not going to be punished, he's in some ways upset at God, because he knew what God was like. He knew that God was a forgiving God, and he knew that that's what would happen if they repented.
Dr. Steinman, our time goes short.
Yeah.
With the story of Jonah eventually now realizing that he, too, is the recipient of God's undeserved mercy, why is this in the Bible? I mean, it is obviously seems fanciful, but presents itself as history. With about a minute here, why does God preserve this story of this otherwise obscure prophet and his interesting journey to Nineveh and back?
Well, I think it's to emphasize God's mercy to all who repent, that God doesn't want to destroy, he doesn't want to punish, but he wants to forgive, and he calls people to repentance, and he indeed promises them forgiveness. And Jonah realizes this, And, you know, at the end of the book, God has to remind Jonah, why should I destroy these people whom I created? It's really a story about God calling people to repentance. And one of the ironies is the people, the sailors on the ship are more repentant than Jonah, that the people of Nineveh are more repentant than Jonah. And really the irony is that the people of Nineveh are more repentant in this instance than the people of Israel that Jonah had preached to. And it's showing how God is faithful to his promises, always willing to forgive, even a people seen by the people of Israel as so wicked as the people of Nineveh.
Dr. Andrew Steinman is professor of theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Daniel and the Oracles of God. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
It really is about mercy, isn't it? Ultimately about God's unfailing mercy. Think about it for a moment. Could Jonah have ever thought, doomed to the belly of the great fish, that he would be heard in his, what should have probably been his last gasp of breath, his dying prayer for mercy, that God would show him this great mercy? He had disobeyed God's direct command, but God showed him mercy. This is why Jonah, 3 days in the belly of the whale and then alive again, alive out of the belly of the whale, becomes the sign of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. Because although Jonah couldn't have known how great mercy God's mercy was toward him until he was brought forth alive, we see how great God's mercy toward us is in Christ's three-day journey into the grave and out again alive for us. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.